hopefully you got all your shopping done. If you do not, Lord, have mercy on your soul. Because that means you got to go to Springfield. And so we will be going to Springfield this afternoon. And so please pray for patience. We were there yesterday. And it's funny, you walk into some stores and you look up and you just walk right out. You're like, nope, not today. It's not happening. Like, you see the line, and it, when it wraps around a store, it's like, you know what? Nothing is worth that right there. And so whoever I'm buying for, we're going to Constellation B. Let's go to B, Gift B, whatever Gift B is, we're going that way. And so hopefully you got your shopping done, but as you've heard, we're slackers, and we've missed the prime two-day shipping, and so we will be out this afternoon with all the nuts and crazies, and not nuts, they're just God's children is what they are, God's children is what they are, but we'll have fun. We'll see you out there, hopefully not, but it is Christmas, and we're just continuing to, this will be our Christmas, what we continued. We've done 3 weeks so far about Christmas, and what we've done is the first week we talked about hope, the second week we talked about joy, and then we talked about peace. And what we've been building up to today, and what we've highlighted each one of these is something that we do often is we forget. How many forget, right? Like, we forget. How many times have you asked your wife what the plan for this week is, right? I guarantee it's been more than once, right? And so we just forget. In general, we forget. And so it seems like we get into this hectic time of life, and we forget the simplest things. Like, when it comes to hope, when it comes to joy, when it comes to peace, we forget about God. I know it sounds crazy. I know you don't believe me, but we do. Because what happens is when life gets chaotic and our life gets kind of tossed around, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put it into our circumstances. And then we look to our circumstances to provide us hope. Man, if I just land that job, if I get to get that paycheck, if I could just get here, then I'm going to be happy. And that's going to give my family hope if we get that. Or man, if I could just get that boyfriend or that girlfriend, that will give me lots of joy, right? That would give me lots of joy. Or if this could just take place, if we could just get that home, then we'll have peace. And so many times we take our eyes off Jesus and put it on our circumstances. The problem is our circumstances don't always work out, do they? We don't get the job. We don't get the girl. We don't get the home. And then when all that falls through, we're like, we're not happy. We were walking in the store yesterday. And it was funny. I was walking down the aisle, and I was listening to this mom and what I assumed to be her daughter having a conversation in the toy aisle. And the mom looks at the girl. Well, if you think that will make you happy, get it. I'm like, isn't that the truth? Right? I mean, if you think that'll make you happy, go for that relationship. Go for that house. Go for that job. Go for that. If you think it'll make you happy, and it will for a little bit. But what we forget is we take our eyes off Jesus and put it on the circumstances, and we forget the most important thing. Because I guarantee you, those circumstances are going to let us down. They're going to break our heart. They're going to fail. In the midst of that, what do you do? And so we've been telling you and telling you and telling you today, we're going to tell you, it's about the presence of Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to get you through, because I guarantee you, whatever you're looking for hope, it's not going to bring hope. That job, that career, that's not going to do it. And so we got to remind ourselves today that there's got to be more in our life than just what these circumstances present to us. And we build and build this, building it up, and it comes to the name of God that we're going to end with today. And I've told you the name of God all week, all these past weeks, my favorite name, Emmanuel, God with us. And there's three promises within inside that name, and I want to present them to you today, and I just want to remind you, this is what Christmas is about. And the first one is this, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means God with us. And this is a big promise in the Old Testament that God was going to be with us one day. God in the flesh. Now, you got to give it context to it, because in the Old Testament, they never experienced this. The Old Testament, this was promised. You know, Adam and Eve sinned, they understand. And so then after that, ever since that, they've been looking for the Messiah. They've been looking for God in flesh. Right? We always talk about, man, how cool it would have been to be Adam and Eve in the garden. They literally got to walk with God. I mean, how awesome would that be? Like Enoch. Enoch walked with God. I mean, how cool would that be? And we even talk about today, like, man, that'd be awesome if we could go. But hang on a second. God in flesh is encompassing Emmanuel. So that means Emmanuel, God with us, that means you and I have that same opportunity. But how quickly do we forget that? We don't equate those two. We don't equate God with us, so I get to walk with God. It sounds good in theory, but in practicality, we don't usually put the two together. But look at the promise. Let me rewind. Let's look at the promise. Isaiah chapter 7. Here comes the promise in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So there you go. There's a prophecy. That's a prophet saying, hey, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming back. And then if you flip over a couple chapters of chapter 9, Isaiah, here comes a prophecy again. Chapter 9, verse 2 to 6 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, of them his light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoils. For the yoke of his burden, the staff at his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior, battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." That means you no longer war. They're going to do away with war. That's what he's talking about. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So that's the prophecy. That's the Old Testament saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And in years and years, hundreds of years go by. Probably around 700 years go by. I mean, a crazy amount of time. Can you imagine believing something so much, you pass it down for 700 years? I mean, you really got to believe in that, right? Like, hey, he's coming, to keep that going all these years. And then the Christmas happens, the Christmas miracle. The promise comes alive. We see that in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. We see it in Matthew. Matthew tells us in chapter 1, verse 23, the promise of God of literally being with us is being fulfilled. Look at it in verse 23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." So there's many promises which are fulfilled at the first Christmas, Jesus' birth, but this was a big one. The big one is God with us. It sounds so good, but how can we so easily forget that promise? That God would be with us. That God would walk and dwell among men. I mean, how incredible is that to think about? So that's one of the biggest promises of Christmas, that God is with us. That God's promise that he will always be with you and I. In the Old Testament, they didn't get that like we get it today. They didn't get the ability to be in God's presence. Remember, once a year, the high priest could go in the presence of God. Other than that, you're out of luck because you couldn't. And so that's why this is so important to you and I, that we have this. We have this understanding that we get to experience him personally and intimately, and yet we don't really do that very often. Jesus' name was called Emmanuel, very clearly stating that God is with us. His name is a fulfillment of the promise of God. The name, it appears twice in Hebrew scriptures and once in the New Testament. It has to be one of the most comforting titles of God. He is with us. Think about it. When our sins made it impossible for us to come to him, God took this outrageous step and came to us. Who else would do that? I mean, think about just that for one second. You know who you are. You know the choices you've made. So did he. He knew the choices that you're going to make. He knew how many times you would let him down, how many times you fail him, how many times you'd get angry. He knew all that. And yet God still came to earth. Why? Just to be with us. I mean, how amazing is that? He wanted a relationship with us so much. He took this outrageous step to come to us, to make himself susceptible to sorrow, that was familiar with temptation, vulnerable to sin's disruptive power, all in order to cancel sin's grip on us. I mean, that's how extreme God's love is. And remember that the next time you feel abandoned, you feel afraid. Remember that God is with us. He's still God. He's still with us. The Bible paints a picture of the fulfillment and the great promise in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the birth of Christ. Look at it, chapter 1, verse 18, 20. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as she considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place, look at this, to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and there shall call his name Emmanuel. So that's a promise of God with us in real life. Think about it. Joseph bore the shame of his fiancée getting pregnant, Mary screaming in labor, Jesus was poor in the manger surrounded by sheep, goats, and cow manure. I mean, it was bad. He was poor. They were as poor as it gets. They were so poor, the Old Testament made this exemption for the poor that, you know, hey, you had to sacrifice a lamb. Well, they were pretty expensive. So they made an exemption if you're really poor. You just had to bring two turtle doves. Guess what Mary and Joseph brought? Two turtle doves. Because that's a poor. Again, all this is happening. It was raw. It was real. It was messy. Come on, kind of like a lot of our lives. This is what was happening here at the manger. This was a Christmas promise that God is with us right where we're at. Ain't that a beautiful thing? Right in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness, God is right. That's a promise that God is with us. When Jesus came into the world, he was literally God with us. Listen, because God is with us, that means we won't be separated from his love. He assures us that in Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, some of the best scripture in all the Bible. It says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or worries about tomorrow. What is that saying? Our circumstances can't separate us. Even the powers of hell can't separate us from God's love. Verse 39, no power in the sky above, earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's God with us. That doesn't matter what you're going through right now. That doesn't matter what the doctor just told you. That doesn't matter what's happening in your relationship. That's God with us. That's where we stand. That's what Christmas means. That God is with us. God's presence assures us that we can accomplish his will for us. Look at it in 1 Chronicles 22, David says this. David ordered all leaders of Israel to assist Solomon in his project. The Lord your God is with you. He has given you peace with the surrounding nations. He's handing them over to you. In verse 19, now seek the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. The Lord your God is with you. That's why he's declaring today, God is with you. Your enemy, guess what? He's handing them over to you. Why? Because God is with you. That's the point I want you to get today. God is with you. I'm going to say it like 1,000 times today just so I can beat it into your head today. That God is with you. How often, how easy we forget that. That God's presence. He even overcomes our fear, our worry, our dissatisfaction. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because God is with us. I mean, when we embrace this promise of Christmas, that God came to be with us, it should change our perspective about what Christmas is about. It should change our perspective about our circumstances. Because right now, some of you guys have some really cruddy circumstances right now. But at Christmas, it should change our perspective where we take our eyes off our circumstances and put it back on Jesus. And we remember he's with us. We remember we're not alone. We remember when we're walking through the fire like those boys, those Hebrew boys, that we're not burning up. Why? Because God is with us. That's the most important thing. God is with us. So he takes it from God is with us. Jesus comes to earth, and Jesus is like, all right, how do I top that? Look what Jesus did. So God is with us. Jesus said, all right, I'll give you God in us. Okay, look at that. Jesus... God sent Jesus to fulfill this promise, and he said, look at verse John 14:9. He said that Jesus said to him, I've been with you. With you so long, you still don't know me, Philip. Have you ever seen me, seen the Father, right? And so Jesus makes this promise of this Holy Spirit that's coming. And he promised it in John 14, verses 15 and 17. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can never cannot receive. This is why he's saying, listen, I've got to go, right? But that he's going to be not only with us, he's going to be in us. He said that he's here for us. And when we need strength, we need strength to endure this journey, to power to overcome. Guess what? Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. There's God in us. Come on. You guys need some more espresso to be on the same train here. Because that is awesome. I mean, God in us, like God with us, that's pretty cool, right? But God in us, you know what that means? That means the Holy Spirit is talking to you. That means you're going through that circumstance and the enemy's trying to distract you. The enemy's trying to get your eyes off of Jesus onto your own circumstance. And the Holy Spirit is just whispering to you, hey, listen, I can see what's coming. Just hold on. God's got something good for you. God in us, the power to overcome, the power to preserve in this journey, the power to be overcomers inside of us. Power that you and I don't have. The power to say, you know what, even if I'm going to sin, we don't have that power. But once we're filled the Holy Spirit, we have that kind of power that's not of our own. The scripture tells us that same power that rose Jesus from the grave is available to you and I in the way of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't know. You go to the store, you guys, especially some women like these too, but you go look like power tools, right? That's the best time in the world, isn't it? I mean, how can you not smile when you look at power tools, right? You go look, and you're looking at, you're looking at some DeWalts, right? You're like, oh, this is awesome. You see the drill there? They got a whole line of these 18 watt, you know? You're like, oh, 18, come on. That's pretty awesome. But then you turn the corner of the aisle, they've got 20 watts. Who would want stinking 18 watts? When you have 20 watts, like, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 20, okay? I don't want 18, I want 20, right? I mean, who would ever say, you know what, I think I'm good. I'm going to go for the 10-watt drill. Be, all right, turn in your man card on your way out the door. I don't know. I mean, who? Nobody picks that. If you got 6 watts, you got 20 watts, nobody's picking a 6-watt. That's going to be a hard sell, right? You and I have available this power that's undescribable. We have so many times like, oh, that 6 watts looking pretty good. Are you kidding me? Like, there's not even a word for that level of stupidity. I'm just being, can I just be honest with you? But so many times, we're like, God's with it, that's good. God in us, I think I got this one. You know, this job offer, it seems pretty cool. You know what? I think I got this one, God. I mean, it's clearly you want that, so we don't even pray about it. It's so good, we don't even have to pray about it. This relationship, they're so hot, I don't even have to pray about it. I mean, you know, like there's some things we get to this, we're like, you know what? I don't even have to pray about that. Hello. In that moment, you're getting a 6-watt drill. Just remind yourself that I'm being an idiot. I'm picking up the 6-watt drill when there's a 20-watt right there. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It gives us His power. Let me show you some examples. James 1, 2-4, it says, count all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that a testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Count all joys. You can't count all joys with that 6-watt drill. There's nothing joyful about it. It's just sad. But when you pick up the 20 belt impact driver, you know, you may remember that. When it's like you got to put a little bicep to pick up that one, right? You're like, oh yeah. That's what we're talking about. That's the only way you can count all joy when you have the Holy Spirit living in, when you have God in us. That's how we count all joy when we're going through this. That's how you count all joy when you think all is lost. That's how you count all joy when you get that doctor's report, when you have God in us. Instead of trying to do it by yourself. Look at 1 Peter. I need to hurry on here. 1 Peter 4, verse 1-12. So since then, Christ suffered physical pain. We'll skip on down to verse 2. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God if you pick up that 6-watt. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them forever. So don't look at the troubles you can see now. Don't look at your circumstances. Rather, fix your gaze on the things that cannot be seen. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will whisper to you those things that cannot be seen. The Holy Spirit, Christ in you, God in you, will whisper to you those things you can't see. They'll whisper to you that job. It looks amazing. It looks like the perfect job offer. But the Holy Spirit be whispering to you, it's not for you. That's God in you. That's when you allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. That's power. And so God's promises, God with us. God in us. Jesus knew that we would need help on this journey in life. So He promised, He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And I know on a day like today, it's right before Christmas. We're gathered for Christmas. A lot of you here for family visiting. I bet if we were to ask, some of you right now might think of Christmas as a burden. Think about it, it's a time of busyness, a time of stress, it's a time of more debt. But what I'm talking to you today about is we shift our perspective. For now, it's not about that. It's not about these circumstances. But it's about the Christmas promise that's highlighted that bring us joy, that bring us hope, that bring us peace on earth, good times for men. It comes from believing that God is with us, that God is in us. Because when we believe that, it's not about the presence. It's not about this chaos. It's not about the hurriedness. It's about not about the hams. It's not about, man, I heard about a Christmas brisket today. That like sang to my heart. It's not about those things. It's about God. It's about recognizing He's with us. No matter what you're going through, no matter if you're having ham with cherries and pineapples, God is still with you in all that you're doing. So He sent another promise to the Holy Spirit. Make sure that we're not orphans. He's going to give God in us. So we got God with us. We got God in us. And this third one, I think there's some in here that need to hear this morning. That God is for us. God is for us. I think we need to be it needs to be repeated over and over again. God is for us. God is for you. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He fulfilled the promise that God would be with us, that God wants us to be in His presence, to know Him, to feel Him. He fulfilled that promise. And God doesn't just want to be with us. He wants to be in us. And Jesus fulfilled that promise by saying, "Now, you know what? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be in you." And God wants to go further than just being with us. He wants to be in us. He wants you to be in Him, this relationship. And all we have to do is open our heart. We invite Him in. He invites you to come live with Him. And He invites the Holy Spirit in. When He comes to live with us, guess what? It proves that God is for us. The Holy Spirit reminds us over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit was for us. Look at it, Romans 8, 31 to 39. I love this. "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these?" Look at this. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" I mean, that's like period in the sermon. If God is for us, who can be against us? But it goes on. Look at it. "Since He did not spare even His only Son, but gave Him up," who? "For us. Won't He also give us everything?" Is that not screaming God's for us and you're not listening? Look at verse 33. Who dare accuses us whom God has chosen for His own? No one. For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. He's sitting in a place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Come on, are you getting the clue here? God is for you. God is for you. I know some of you are looking at your circumstances right now and say, "God is not for me, God is against me." Right? Some of you are going through some things right now, and you think, "Man, you just royally messed up because He is bringing, you know, everything down." That's not true. God is for you. Look at the way it ends. Skip all the way down to the very end. It says, "Nothing at all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can I just repeat it one more time? If God is for us, who can be against us? Some of you need to be saying that this morning. If God is for me, who can be? Some of you are walking through literal hell right now, and you need to be repeating yourself, if God is for me, who can be against me? God is for you. I want you all to be walking out here being aware of this one thing, that God is for you. God is for me. Who can be against me? He proved He was for us by sending Jesus, a child born of a virgin. He proved He would not leave us as orphans in a wicked, evil world, so He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. Riley, if you can come back to the piano for us this morning. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" God is for you. He's on your side. I mean, He loves you from the tip top of your head to the tippy tip toes of your toes, whatever. That's how much He loves you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He knows you intimately. Come on. He knows you intimately, and He still believes in you. I mean, come on, that's pretty good right there, isn't it? I mean, God is for us. That's what His Word declares. If you experienced it, you know this. That God is for you. So what do we need to know from this message? It's Christmas season. I want you to understand these three things. The three promises that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit brought to you. That God is with us. For whatever circumstance you're going through right now, God is with you. Oh, but it gets better. God is in us. That if you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, He said the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is available to you. That God is in us. And thirdly, that God is for you. Jesus is with us, and Jesus came as a testimony to God's love, to the fact that God keeps his promises. That he's willing to come to be with us in this world, that we understand this, we embrace this, and we live, and this is where we find our joy. This is where we find our peace. This is where we find our hope in this life, that God is with us. And then that God is in us, that Jesus fulfilled God's promise to be with us, and he even promises to send the Holy Spirit to us to be a part of our everyday lives, to empower us, to give us joy in this life. And that God is for us. His promise, the Holy Spirit lives in us, reminds us every day that God is for us, not against us. That he lives in us as a fulfillment to the promise Jesus left us, guide us, to gift us, to direct us in this truth. Would you stand with us this morning? So what does all this mean? Simply means that God is with us. Scripture says they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, which means he will never leave you, which means he will never forsake you, which means he's always with you. His spirit dwells inside of you. It means when you're lost, guess what? He's with you as your guide. When you're alone, he's with you as your companion. When you're hurting, guess what? He's with you as your comforter. When you're afraid, he's with you as your peace. Come on, you're getting the hint here. When you're sick, he's with you as your healer. When you're weak, he's your strength. When you're dead, lost your sins, he's your savior. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what he means today. That's the story of the good news. That God didn't just shout it from the heaven tops. He came to earth to be God with us. I don't know what you walked into this room with. Some of you walked in with a burden this morning. Some of you walked in, you might have just lost your job. You might have just lost a relationship. Some of you walked in with a medical report you don't understand. And this question, your question, this Christmas, you're questioning hope, joy, peace. Because right now, you might not have any of that in your life. Your relationship's in turmoil. There's lots of questions in your life. There's questions at work. There's questions with some of your kids. And what you've done this Christmas season, you've taken your eyes off of God, and you focus on your circumstance. And in that moment, you pick up that 6-watt drill, and you got that little sucker humming the best it can, and it's not doing anything. But you're trying your hardest to make things work. You're trying your situation, you're trying to make it make sense. You are doing everything in your power, and that's just not enough. I'm asking this morning, would you just lay that down? And would you remind yourself that God is with us? Quiet the noise, quiet the chaos, and just take a moment. God is with us. Take your eyes off that circumstance. God is with us. As he came to earth, he's willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice just so we can know how good he is. Who is he? His name is Emmanuel. It means God is with us. It means God is in us. It means God is for us. Some of you need to hear that one more time. God is for you this morning. No matter what your circumstances are screaming this morning, God is for you. Close your eyes with this morning. I pray this morning, God, that we be honest with ourselves. We be honest that if we walked in here more focused on our circumstances than on you. God, we walked in here this morning more focused on our job than you. We walked in here this morning more focused on our career than you. We walked in here more focused on that relationship than you. Walked in here trying to figure out how we're going to work, make it work. Lord, I pray this morning that we would just stop and be reminded of that precious name, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is in us. And God is for us this morning. God is for you. God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I pray. We just be still in your presence this morning. Be honest with you, Lord. I've been trying on my own to fix things. I've been trying on my own to make things better. I've been trying, Lord. I've been trying. Lord, this morning we lay down our pride. We remind ourselves that true joy is found in you. Remind ourselves that only perfect peace is found in you. And we turn to you. If you're in here this morning, what I would just ask, would you be honest with yourself? Scripture says if you'd call upon his name, he will answer. Just no qualifications. Just call upon his name. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what your life choices have been made of. Scripture says it. Just call upon his name. This morning, would you just call up right where you're at? Would you just call upon his name? Would you just confess, Lord, I need to experience you. I need to experience Emmanuel today. I need Emmanuel in my life. Because I've made a mess of things. I need Emmanuel in my life for peace. Lord, this world has taken all my joy. I need Emmanuel in my life for joy. Would you just confess this morning, Lord, what you need? And would you allow him to minister to you this morning? Lord, I pray. Let every heart in this place experience God with us. Lord, let every heart in this place experience God in us. Lord, let every heart in this place realize that God is for us. God is for us. Who can be against us? Lord, would you encourage every heart in here this morning that God is for us? Who can be against us? We leave this place knowing without a shadow of a doubt you're for us. Let's leave this place knowing the precious name of Emmanuel. God is with us. In the precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. These altars are open.